changing the world one smile at a time. It's Dr. Brady with the Drilled Podcast.
Speak Chinese. I got some questions, you got some answers. Tell me, please, please, please. Tell me, please, please, please. Tell me, please, please, please.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us on the Drill the Dr. Brady podcast. We are with Lowell, our esteemed co-host.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
How you doing, dude?
I'm doing well.
Lowell brought me a gift today.
I did.
It's so awesome.
I'm a good present buyer.
I don't know how to use it. I feel bad because I didn't get you anything.
Oh, dude, you did. You totally did.
Now people are going to think it's sexual.
Let's just let them think on it.
Yeah, let's just let you use your imagination, guys. I'm not going to confirm nor deny anything. Lowell gave me it's called a Spark 40. Basically, it's like an amplifier for your electric guitar that, it has like pedals, like you use it through your phone and you have like different pedals and like effects for your guitar. I'm really excited to use it. Anyways, it's supposed to be super dope and it's like, so it dials it in like specifically. So if you're like, I want to sound like Slash on Sweet Child of Mine, it'll give you the exact tone, right? That's the thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Essentially, right? That's like the tip of the iceberg with this bad boy, though.
Let's say, yeah. So you're playing like Green Day. I want to sound exactly like Billy Joe Armstrong. I want to sound have the exact same tone, or anything like that. So it just allows you to do a lot of stuff.
Well, Brady does play in a cover band. This could be very, very handy for that.
Now, I don't know if people know that about me.
You only tell them all the time.
I only mention it 7 times per episode.
Yeah, just 7 times. I figured I'd mention it once, break it up.
Oh, man. Okay. Let's go. Anyway, thank you for the gift, Lowell. It's fantastic. I'm
Merry
actually
Christmas.
Want to cut this podcast short to start playing with that. Current events. I am recovering from COVID. And my wife is, too. My wife's pretty much better. I have a residual cough that as long as I have cough drops in, it's like annoying. It's like when you're eating tiramisu and you like breathe and that cocoa powder goes back to your whatever that powder is, goes back to back of your throat and makes you like,
for me it's pepper. Like anytime I cook with like pepper, red pepper, anything like that, I sneeze. I just start sneezing. Like it doesn't matter. Like the second I do, I start sneezing.
Interesting. But anyway, I went back to work yesterday. I did my 10 days per the CDC guidelines, as long as you are not feverish and your symptoms are improving, they say you can go back now, and it's not test-based. It's symptom-based. So they don't make you take a test. Now, truth is, I never took a test. So I don't know that I had COVID, for sure. I never took a COVID test. I didn't see the point. Like, my life wouldn't have changed if I had a piece of paper saying I was COVID positive. Like I still quarantined, I assumed positive and acted accordingly.
Well, I don't think the test is necessary if you just assumed positive and you just stayed home until you felt better and then followed all the guidelines that were put forth and then went back to work. Exactly. It's just a piece of paper at that point.
Yeah. So I just assumed positive. Man, it's weird losing your sense of smell. I only lost my sense of smell and not my sense of taste. My wife lost taste and smell, and she's still slowly recovering. It's not totally back. I took my son's freaking dirty diaper, and I put that baby right up in my nose, and I took a whiff. It was so close that I could feel the heat on my face, but I couldn't smell a thing. It was like breathing in fresh mountain air. I was like, this is crazy, dude. This is so crazy. And then I didn't taste it. But anyway, sorry if we just lost all of our listenership.
Actually, weirdly enough, numbers are up on that. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good. People want the poop stories.
They want the poop stories, dude.
Oh, good. I got plenty more where that came from.
With four kids, I would imagine you do.
Yeah. Anyway, COVID's crazy, dude. And I don't like it. No picnic, that's for sure.
I feel like I'm dancing around the bowl with it. Like, I just feel like it's just inevitable, because it's like, slowly but surely, people are like, you're probably the closest, like, explosion to me, you know, but like, it's just everybody around me starting to get it. And I feel like I'm dancing around the bowl. Or I'm feeling like my years and years and years of retail work and people coughing in my face is really starting to pay off now.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's probably it.
Those horrible flus I would get every single year have paid off.
Yeah. You know, I always thought Dennis had a good immune system because we're around people so much.
Mm-hmm.
But we're around people usually masked up, gloved up. Like, we don't actually... We have high exposure, but very low risk to, you know, disease and viruses and bugs. So maybe I'm not as immuno strong as I thought I was.
Or it just hits you sideways, you know, who knows?
Who knows?
So there's not a lot of good information out
there. Everyone gets sick, man.
Especially this time of year. It's just a ticking time bomb, you know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. Anyway, we're back. We're cooking. The cough is annoying for sure.
Yeah, if you hear the clickety clacking on in his mouth and the smacking sounds, that's the throat lozenge he's got going on over there.
And the only thing that works for me are these old school Halls, specifically the little rectangular packages that you get from gas stations are the best. The big bags with the oval shaped Halls, not as good. But these square ones with the dimple in it, you know, they're fantastic.
I absolutely love throat lozenges. That's why I won't use them unless I absolutely have to. It was an annoying habit.
Yeah. These little rectangular packages, though, like during my shift. So literally, if I don't have them, I will cough like a man who's like sucked down the powder from a powdered donut, like constantly, which sounds terrible, right? I can't be doing that. So I sucked down 2.5 packs of these yesterday during my 12-hour shift. And as long as I have a throat lozenge in, I don't cough.
There he goes again.
There you go. So, yeah, sorry if you hear it clanking against my teeth while I talk. Lowell, you brought up a interesting question when you arrived at my home today. We were talking about you might need a wisdom tooth taken out.
Yeah.
You brought up an interesting inquiry that I'd like you to bring up with the congregation.
Okay. So the congregation, that's great. We're calling them
the Church of Drilled.
The Church of Drilled. Oh, man.
You are our congregants. We thank you.
You are getting so dangerously close to blasphemy.
we'll be passing around the donation plate very soon.
Actually, we already are. I have had a couple wisdom teeth taken out in the course of my life. And
have I taken a tooth out on you?
Yeah, you took one out.
That sounds like something.
It wasn't a wisdom tooth. It was a super. I don't know. You do 1,000 of these a day, you know, so you probably don't remember. But it was I had a tooth that went real bad. It got real rotten, and we had to like do antibiotics for a little bit.
Mm.
And it was the worst dental thing I've ever had done when you pulled that tooth.
Oh, okay.
Because it was just it was super nasty, infected. And like it just had to go, and everything. It was the most painful healing, the most painful pull, anything I've ever had done.
Yeah.
But I've had some wisdom teeth taken out in the past too, mostly after they've gotten beyond the point of like saving, but like, not that you'd save it, but I've had multiple dentists tell me two very different things. One, you get those beautiful bastards just get in there like, yeah, whatever. Bam. Just pop it right out and it's over with.
Yeah.
And you have the other one that's like, oh, well, you gotta get an oral surgeon, and this thing it's impacted, or I can't get it out, or you need to have it cut open and surgically removed. So that my question was why do some dentists just rip them out, and why do some dentists recommend you to an oral surgeon?
Because some dentists are pussies.
You heard it here, folks.
And some dentists are not. And that's it. No, so. That is the way it goes. A lot of people, you know, if you need a tooth pulled out, any tooth, you go to a dentist and they're going to say, yeah, you got to go to a surgeon for this. Only a surgeon can do this. And they paint it that way sometimes. I get a lot of patients who come to me and they're like, you're a surgeon, right? I'm like, no, I'm a general dentist. Like, oh, I need to go to a surgeon for this. I was like, no, you don't. I do these all the time. But a dentist has the opportunity to like pick and choose what he or she wants to do. So if you don't want to do extractions, you don't have to do extractions. Oral surgeon will do all of them. So you can't go to oral surgeon. Oral surgeon can be more expensive. Oral surgeon might not take your insurance. Oral surgeons will usually have the option to put you to sleep, though, if that's something you choose. So that's good stuff. But we get referrals. Just yesterday, I had two referrals from this place called CMAR here locally. It's a federally qualified health center, and it sucks. It's terrible. It's one of those places that's paid by encounter by the state. I rant about this all the time. It's the only place that I actively throw under the bus. Like, I will be very nice to other dentists.
Out of courtesy.
Except for CMAR. CMAR, I specifically tell people, don't go there because they get paid by encounter, i.e., they get paid to neglect your dental care. They get paid, you know, it's the same amount of money they get paid whether they do four fillings or one. It's the exact same. Or they do none. They just look at you, take an x-ray, and say, "Can't, no, we got to have you come back." So, anyway, we get a bunch of referrals from them because we accept state insurance, and they don't do extractions. They don't do a lot of stuff. So if someone needs a crown or a root canal or extraction, it's not, they say it's not covered. But again, it's weird because there is no coverage. It's an encounter visit. If you paid me by encounter, I mean, the amount of money they get is so astronomical. Like the cheap stuff they do, like the exams and the x-rays, would be enough to cover, to kind of subsidize me doing root canals and crowns. That's why it's so crazy. Like if you paid me by encounter, I'd be doing implant. There would be no not covered benefit. I would do everything. So the reason why they don't do it is just simply the dentist that they happen to get doesn't pull teeth. So you just got unlucky. Right, you got a dentist who's not experienced in pulling teeth, and you just got unlucky. So they send you to me, and both of these people yesterday got referred to me, never seen them before, came in, both of them were like one little wisdom tooth that needed to come out. So I popped it out, in and out, 15 minutes, done. And they're like bewildered. They're like, you can just do that? Why couldn't they do that over there? I was like, you'll have to ask them why. I don't know why. But they're like, it's so easy. I'm like, yeah. It is. Now, I've done a bajillion teeth before, so, you know, the more you do it, you know, Michael Jordan makes things look easy, too, but there's a lot of experience. I'm basically telling you I'm like Michael Jordan.
Of teeth pulling.
Of teeth pulling.
You stick your tongue out while you do it?
I don't know.
You should.
I'm wearing a mask, so no one would know.
Okay, so here's part two of my question. I have had I'll kind of lay this out a little bit.
It out for me, bro.
Like I said, different types of teeth pulled. And I just remember the last one that you pulled.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I first started to come to see
the bad one.
Yeah, the bad one. It was the worst tooth, like dental, like the second worst dental experience of my life. It was just mad. Just painful. It was a super infected. There was nothing to do. There's nothing that could be done about it. I mean, it was you even told me.
But let's be clear. It was Lowell's fault.
Yeah, it was my fault. I remember you even told me, like, this is going to suck. Like, you said that.
Did I prep you for that?
You prepped me. You're like, there's nothing we can do about it. This is going to suck.
Yeah.
You know, like, so just.
It does happen sometimes where you get some that just suck. And side note, some people, I'm sorry to detract from your question. Some people only come into the dentist when it hurts. Right? When they have like a swelling or an abscess. Mm-hmm. And those people are always like, you know, the numbing never works. I never get numb. So anyway, those are the people who are going to have the most terrible experiences. If you don't want to have a terrible experience, go to the dentist more often. You'll have plenty of pleasant experiences. But when you wait until your body's infected and can't absorb anesthetic properly, because that's a thing, you're going to have only terrible experiences because you only come in when it hurts. So you got to get out of that cycle. It's hard for a lot of people to do that, but that's a terrible recipe for terrible experiences. Anyway,
because no, the other side thing is I've had tons of great dental experiences. You know, I actually really enjoy going into my getting my teeth cleaned.
Yeah.
You have a dental assistant, Lauren?
Yeah.
She uses the tools. She doesn't use the ultrasonic scaler. She uses the tools.
She goes old school.
She gets in there. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's a good feeling when you're done.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've had tons of good ones. But so it you really had to work to get, like, that tooth out. And I remember having another one taken out that they really, because I was having problems with the wisdom. I needed more room or whatever. But it was really hard. And then I had a wisdom tooth pulled, and it just came. The guy was like, bonk. So is it harder to pull a wisdom tooth than it is to pull, like, a molar?
Mm. So wisdom teeth are typically protected by a lot of gum tissue and bone. So you are rarely using, you're rarely dealing with a broken wisdom tooth. Any broken tooth is difficult to take out. It's all just about surface area. How big is the tooth? How much structure on top is grabbable? Like, can you actually take a forceps and grab it, or is it just going to mush? Because then you're drilling the bone around the tooth. You got to, you know, fillet back the gum tissue, drill out the bone to get access to something hard that you can actually leverage to remove the dang thing. So in a lot of cases, a molar is more difficult than a wisdom tooth. Wisdom teeth are, in many, many cases, not the most difficult teeth. They can be. There are some orientations of wisdom teeth, like how they're jammed or impacted into the jaw, like underneath or wedged underneath other teeth, so they're close to other teeth, they're close to, like, nerves that can cause, like, permanent nerve damage. And there are some things where it's like, yeah, that's pretty difficult. Actually, my least favorite tooth to pull are canines, because canines have the longest roots, right? It's usually only a single root. Like, molars are multi-rooted, but canines have this long, thick root that's, like, you know, two or three times the size of the tooth. So
I've seen it.
It's big. They're real big, man.
I've seen you pull some out, and I've seen them. They're big.
So those big old guys, you know, what you're doing when you're pulling a tooth is you're separating this ligament that surrounds the tooth, that attaches the tooth to the bone. There's a ligament called the periodontal ligament. You have to sever that ligament. The way you sever it is by putting force on the tooth, and it just rips and tears that ligament. It's microscopic. Can't really see it. It's not microscopic. You can see it on an x-ray, actually. But it's a real space that you have to tear that ligament tissue, which doesn't want to tear. So you have to put a tremendous amount of force on the tooth. And if you have a tooth that's bigger, you have more surface area attached, so it's harder to remove. So it's like taking out a bigger carrot out of the ground. It's gonna be harder to pull because there's more dirt surrounding it. You got to make that separation, and then it can come out. So in a lot of cases, I think I've found canines can be the most brutal. I hope the PC police don't come after me, but different ethnicities make a difference too.
So we've had this talk, and we've talked about this before. And I have some friends of different ethnicities, and we've talked about it before because they know I do this. So they mm-hmm. obviously want to talk to me about teeth stuff. And it's really weird when people ask me, they ask me for advice, and I'm like, listen, I'm not a dentist.
we'll give you an honorary degree.
I'll like point you in the right direction, or I'll tell you what I've seen, but that's it.
Yeah.
I'm not making a recommendation. You got
to
do
you. Know enough to be dangerous.
Yeah, enough to be just exactly it. Just enough to be dangerous.
And illegal.
Yeah, super illegal.
But no, black people have more dense bone than white people. Pacific Islanders have the densest bone. So, like, I've had, like, Samoan ladies that I've taken out teeth that, I mean, every single one of them just snaps at the root. So the root gets stuck in there, and we're going fishing for, I mean, it can get really, really bad. But the worst experiences I've had with pulling teeth are on Pacific Islanders and black people. White people, I mean, you can have a white person with dense bone too, but across the board, some of the worst experience I've had that surprised me, like, I did not think this was going to be that difficult. I remember this one black dude came in, taking out a tooth. We have these big, long, they're called elevators. They're just stainless steel, just thick stainless steel. You shove them in between teeth, and you start moving them, and it leverages the teeth and kind of loosens that periodontal ligament space. So I'm loosening the periodontal ligament space and elevating the tooth. And his bone was so strong that as I was elevating it, it broke the stainless steel instrument. Just snapped it. And I was like, holy crap. I don't know what to do when you are breaking my instruments. So when in doubt, you just start drilling down.
Yeah, then you just start getting like the commercial tools.
I mean, a drill will take out the bone. So you just got to keep on taking out bone. But you had to drill out tons of bone to get that tooth out, which was crazy. I did not expect that. I thought these are the ones where you think it's going to be easy. And you're like, you know, it can't be that different doing it on a black guy versus a white guy. But dude, it's different. It is different. And Pacific Islanders, I'm telling you, I get a little nervous when I got the Pacific Islanders coming in, the Samoans and the Tongans. Anyways, it's not racist.
No, I lost a wrestling state championship to a Polynesian dude who just bit me like a pretzel.
Really?
I'm a pretty big dude, and I'm a pretty dense guy, you know, being like Scandinavian, so we have like very dense bones and we're very hard-headed people, but like this guy just turned me into a pretzel.
Yeah.
It was...
I mean, they're some of the best football players, dude. They just have a lot of skull-cracking power, you know?
And weight and, you know, muscle density.
The girth.
Girthy
people.
No, that's super fun. But, like, yeah, that was my question. Is it, like, you know, you answered it perfectly. Like, why do they... Some recommend you to some things. I've seen dentists too. Like I've done a lot of work with dentists, especially in the past couple of weeks, and I've got to see this cross section of just different personality types in dentists.
Oh, from the Halo stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Lowell, just so you guys know, Lowell has been in the office of a dozen dentists in the last month, filming for our Halo stuff, which you guys should all check out on our Halo page.
Yeah, and there's just going to be a massive release of this stuff for this entire year, pretty much.
Yeah.
But just the personality types, it's just bizarre. And it's like, okay, so there was one dude, I'm not gonna name names, but there was one dentist who was real cocky when I met him. Awesome, just happy, go lucky, super cocky. And when it came time to like, you know, actually decide on what we were gonna do, all of a sudden his confidence was shaken. And then there was the exact flip side of that, where these guys were like, I don't want to be on camera, blah, blah, blah. And then the second you put in front of Cannibal and put them on camera, they're beasts. They kill it. Yeah, they kill it. Or, like, they're super timid, and then they walk in to the operatory, and then it's like they start with talking with the patient or working with the patient, and they're just beasts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird to see the swing. Like, you know, behind closed doors, they're timid, or when the doors are open, they're confident. Some are like, when the doors are open, they're super timid, but once they're working... They're beasts.
Yeah.
There's some that were just beasts all in general. Like beastie from point A to point B.
Yeah. Dennis, there's a wide range of personality with Dennis for sure. And then that's the reason for if you want a one-stop shop and you go to a dentist and they don't do, you know, they don't pull teeth, they don't do implants, they don't do root canals, then you have the option as a patient, consumer, go find another dentist if that's what you want. What I've found in my experience in my own practice is that patients really prefer to stay in one spot. Patients don't want to go other places. They want a dentist who can do it all.
That's what I want for sure. I don't want to have to like go see specialist after specialist.
Yeah. Especially when it's like, it's under our license to do a root canal. We can do a root canal. We can do an extraction. The problem is it's really important how you start your career, because if you start your career not doing extractions, well, when are you going to start doing them? Like the longer you go without doing it, like if all of a sudden it's been 2 years and you haven't done an extraction since dental school, or all of a sudden it's been 5 years and you haven't done a root canal since dental school, likelihood of you starting to do that at some point is not high. You're going to just find your little niche, your rhythm, and you're going to stick to that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why specialists are there. But it's also another way for dentists to increase their revenue, right? If you offer more products, more services, every time you refer out a wisdom tooth case, you're referring out actual money. Like you could do that yourself. And obviously that should be pretty common sense, like, keeping that money in-house makes sense. That's why we started doing ortho. We started doing braces at one of our offices because I got sick of referring out $5,000 gifts. You know, it's like, why don't we just do that here?
No, I saw that too. There was a when I went to Seattle, there was a Comfort Dental office there that had Comfort Dental braces right next door.
Mm-hmm.
There was also another Comfort Dental office that was going to open a pediatric dentistry, which is, quite frankly, the coolest, dental office I've ever seen. And it wasn't like the dental office we were in, but there was if you went in the back, and then there was this whole other section of dental office that wasn't ready yet. It was still in construction. But, oh my goodness, it was the chairs were techno-colored. It was amazing. It looked super fun.
I mean, pediatric offices are cool, dude.
Yeah.
Pediatric offices are awesome. They know what they're doing. I want to go to a pediatric office. I want to be a patient at pediatric offices. I'm like, do I want to play Xbox while I'm getting my teeth? Yeah, I want that. That's what I want. They got it, but they're also, I think 1 out of 10 pediatric dentists are serial killers, I think is what the stat is. I'm pretty sure.
Uh-oh.
They go crazy and start killing people. So your chances are good to avoid that. But
you had a 90% chance of avoiding that.
Yeah, it's better than COVID.
Yeah, that's fair.
So
dancing around the bowl with COVID.
Oh, man. Well, I'm looking forward to some immunity. Here's the thing. I'm supposed to get the vaccine still. But, isn't getting it better than getting the vaccine?
I don't know. I'm going to get the vaccine as soon as it'll let me, pretty much.
No, I don't have a problem with getting it. I actually don't think you're actually not supposed to get it for 90 days if you've had it. But I didn't have a positive test, so I don't know, I don't, anyways, I'll have to ask someone smarter than Lowell.
Yeah.
It'll be hard to find someone, but I'll work on it.
I know plenty. I know plenty of people smarter than me.
So that's your little juicy tidbit of dental information. If you're wondering why your dentist doesn't do root canals, it's because your dentist has decided not to do root canals. And the moment that they decide to do root canals, they can do them.
Have you figured out what the secret word is, people? It's obvious.
Is it obvious?
It's obvious.
What's the secret word?
It's root canal.
Oh, is that what it is today?
Yeah.
I think it's been root canal before. We can do it again. Listen, email the word root canal to thedrilledpodcast@gmail.com, and you might get $500 of free dental work.
$500.
Remember, you can also
gift
this to somebody else if you don't need it yourself. So that's kind of awesome.
I'm helping.
Thank you. COVID is ruining my brain. I can't think anymore.
Oh, it's all good. So when you were downtime, when you had some downtime, correct? Well, other than the fact that all the kids are home, and imagine that kind of cut into the downtime.
Uh-huh.
But did you get to check out anything fun on like shows or anything?
Yeah, I binged The Queen's Gambit.
Nice.
Do you know that show?
Yeah.
It's on Netflix.
Me and my wife watched it.
It's really, really good. It's about this chess savant, this girl who was orphaned at a young age and goes to this
a bio
Catholic girls' school, and the janitor plays chess, and she's going down to clean the erasers in the basement, and she sees him playing chess by himself, and she's like, what's this? And turns out she's freaking amazing, and within a short time she's beating the janitor. Then the janitor puts her into high school groups, and she's like a savant and absorbs all these. Anyway, super well written. You saw the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Great show. Highly recommend it. And then usually my go-to is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia reruns. Office reruns for sure.
Oh, yeah. Office is definitely comfort food for me. Office and Parks and Rec are comfort food shows.
Comfort food, definitely.
There's another one called The IT Crowd, which is
awesome. I don't know that one.
You should check out The IT Crowd. I tell everyone that I meet that tells me they're into shows like The Office or anything. It was some cable show in Britain that is absolutely amazing.
Oh, funny. It's comedy.
It's a
sitcom.
Yeah. It's this little cheesy television sitcom, about an IT, basically an IT group that works at a big like in just like a big like office building, and just all the craziness and stuff that they do. It's got a great cast. You'll recognize the whole cast if you watch it. They've all gone on to do bigger, badder, better
oh,
things.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. They're all in other
the
stuff.
The IT Crowd. Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
I also watched the season 3 of Cobra Kai in a day on New Year's Day.
Do you like that show?
I love that show.
Oh, so you're like the second or third person who's told me. It's great. I haven't started it.
It is. You should. It is absolutely stunning. Also, me and my wife, because we've been doing a lot of construction on our house, because I'm putting in an office, and we're repainting and doing some flooring and just trying to get the house in order, because I'm going to have to be there a lot. So, like, I want to like have it, like, be really nice and be able to hang out. But we have just been putting stuff on. Like, you know, so we've been watching all these little Netflix specials. But I watched Death to 2020.
You told me about that.
It's super fun.
And I've seen it. I haven't seen it. I've seen it. Featured.
Or like The History of Swearing. We watched that one too.
The History of Swearing? Yeah, oh, that's interesting.
With it's hosted by Nicolas Cage.
Oh, I'm
not. And like any other good Nicolas Cage performance, all the dialogue is either whispered or screamed.
That's perfect.
That's a Saturday Night Live joke.
That's perfect. Yeah. I like Nicolas Cage. And I don't care what anyone says.
He's in one of my favorite movies. It's an old school Coen Brothers movie called Raising Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. His best performance was in the movie Kick-Ass. You seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Where he's his daughter is Hit Girl.
Oh, what's he? What was he? The I can't remember what his name was in that.
Hit Girl and Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Big Daddy was his superhero name. And it's great. I mean, it's a great movie.
Doesn't he get burned alive in that movie?
Yeah, he did. Spoiler alert. doesn't end well for him.
Jim Carrey was in Kick-Ass, too. That was pretty cool, too.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Good movies.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Let's wrap this up per COVID protocols. Governor Inslee has dictated that podcasts can no longer go over 30 minutes because it increases the probability of, I don't know, political unrest. So we just want to comply with all state regulations as, you know, good, obedient citizens like we are. Just kidding. Go break the rules. We don't care. thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Don't forget the secret word is root canal.
Mm-hmm.
Email that to drilledpodcast@gmail.com. Please leave us reviews on iTunes. Please like our stuff, share our stuff, especially the Halo stuff, especially the charitable stuff. Really dig into that stuff because it's super important to us and we could use some help spreading the word about what we're doing. And as always, if you're feeling quite charitable, you can donate via our page, halodentalnetwork.org. We would appreciate all donations that help us do more of what we do. And 100% of what you pay and donate goes into helping other people with their teeth. So
we appreciate the donations that we've gotten this week too. I've seen them come in and we think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Thanks everybody. Okay, see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.